Varnana Antwa Garnapati Gum Hava Mahe Kavinkavi Namupamashravastamam Jeshtara Jam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrin Vandu Tibhisida Satanam Om Shri Maha Garnapataye Namaha Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankara Vavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavi Vishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, you can sit yourself comfortably. You can take a few long deep breaths. And let the body relax. So when I take myself as this individual, then I'm dependent on many different things. But what about when I take myself as the sakshi, as the witnessing awareness? Something is very dear to me. How can I be without that? So when that thing changes or goes, maybe sometime there's hardship, but then afterwards, I continue on. Something is somebody who's doing our vichara, inquiry. I need to look into it. When that thing is here, before that thing was here, I am, as the awareness I am, with some other ideas. Once that thing is there, as the awareness I am, with some other mixed set of ideas. And when that thing changes or goes away, as the witnessing awareness that I am, no change. And as the ideas, another set of ideas, some admixture. So So I say, I am content, I'm happy because of this thing. If I take that thing away, yes, maybe the emotional happiness will be disturbed for some time, but that will also go. The disturbance will go. But can I take I as the awareness out of the picture? It's not possible. I as the awareness cannot be taken out of the picture. There effortlessly, it's the choiceless awareness, you've no choice about it. So the object maybe makes some difference in the mind for some time, but without the awareness, the whole base of experience, where's the whole experience? And whenever I drop the object and the experience, as in deep sleep, where's the problem of trying to become happy, trying to become content? So as we looked at, we'd say the base for the happiness, base for joy is the self, as when everything is removed, as in deep sleep, there's full contentment, no problem. As any experience, when there's the joy, the mind becomes quiet, becomes a reflection of the self. But I take the reflection of the self as the experience, and then take the joy as something that's due to a certain situation. Saragastiti pralayahe tumachintya shaktim Vishveshwaram vidita vishwamanantamuratim Nirmukta Bandhanam Apara Sukhamburashim Shri Vallabham Vimala Bodhaganam Namami. So last week we looked into the verse number 24, which was discussing about the ananda aspect, and we said it was based on the teaching from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So as we say, the teachings of Vedanta come from the Upanishads, and if you hear there's some verse, right, and we don't know much of the Upanishads or anything, and what happens then is, if we're asked, okay, what is it from? There's a, you know, quiz. Where is this verse from? Say Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, because 50% of the time you'll be right, because the big one has much there. So there, Yajnavalkya is having the discussion, we said, with Maitreya, with one of his two wives, where he was going to renounce and leave and give all the wealth to the two of them, split between the two. One wife is very happy, no problem, she'll be fine, be taken care. The other one said, well, there must be something greater if he's leaving everything like this. So that's where the whole discussion started. And for different things it said, but the last verse which is in there, which is the repeat of just of different things, there it said, Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati, sarvam everything, before it was jaya the wife, Pati the husband, or Putra the son or daughter, Vitam the wealth, like this, which is really the object of my love, liking, what brings me joy is really for the self, it's not for the object. I think that it's maybe for something else. So this is what we looked into in detail last time. Very great detail. This one, Vaka, actually this series of a few verses there in the Upanishad. Some years back, when one disciple, Swami Dayananji, he's no more, he visited the Bay Area one time, and he had talks in the morning, like five mornings. Took this section. So every morning, he discussed this. Then he said, we did this for a week. It's a fast track for this, you know. these few sentences, fast track. If we do it in detail, you have to spend 2 months or whatever. Because these are looked into great detail in order to, we want to really understand these things. Because it's on the surface, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The happiness coming from me, not from the other things. That's the source of happiness. Very good, okay, let's move on to the next thing. What's in the news, or, you know, what's for dinner, right? So it takes a lot to look into these things. And because it's not obvious, of course, not obvious that this is it. So a few points are given, then I have to look into it in that way. Because it seems it'll be from something else, but really, in the end, it's for the self. Because that I'm happy because that object, what is, where's the happiness coming from? I'm happy. This is actually one important thing. When there's joy, then the mind is quiet. There is, you say it got triggered for something, but then it doesn't depend on the thing, you just have joy. If it's dependent on that thing, that thing is still there, you'll still be joyful, but after a little while you're not joyful even though that thing is still there, right? Like this. So how come it just reflected it? It reflected the joy that you are. But the thing is, its power to reflect got less. It didn't change, your mind changed actually, right? It can change, your mind can change, both are in flux. But it's really reflecting this, because then you're content with yourself. Oh, I'm happy, right? Because there's nothing in the way of that happiness to express itself. But then the mind moves somewhat, and now it's not reflecting the same way, so it's not expressing itself. This is the issue. So I think it's coming from there, because I haven't really looked into it, that's all, in this way. I haven't looked into, so since I haven't looked into them, then, you know, I just take it to be in this way. Okay, so this is what we looked more detail last time. Next verse now is going to continue along these lines, so number 25 here.
Para-prema-spadataya
Para-prema-spadataya
Mana-bhuvamaham-sada
Mana
yasam iti yo drashta.
Bhuyasam iti yo drashta.
Soham itya vadharaya.
Soham itya vadharaya.
Being the basis of absolute love, for which there is always the feeling, may I never cease to exist, may I always be, that seer I am, thus ascertain. So, soham iti avadharaya, saha aham iti avadharaya. In Sanskrit, they merge together, you have to unpack it. Right? Other languages you hear, in Sanskrit, you have to unpack. And actually, this is one nice thing with the Sanskrit, is the whole thing is unpacked more and more. That's why, at first, years back, one lady used to be in our ashram, the Indian lady, she grew up all these things. She would say that when she grew up, then, you know, you walk to the other village. So the village, everybody was very educated, obviously, because they'd say, okay, how long does it take to go to that village? 16th chapter. Meaning Gita chapter, they measure by Gita chapter, because they know a lot how long it takes to chant the things. So today when I did asana, I did this chapter. So she knew all this. So she would like, wanting to talk, say something, take the verse and then, and I didn't understand it then because I didn't learn any. Now I know just a little bit of this, you know. But the thing is, but then it's like the seed of it and everything is expounded on from there, like this. But all these verses, that's saha aham iti avadharaya, you have to really ascertain, look into this. This is what I am. This is what it's pointing to. All these verses saying this. So many verses have passed to look into like this. So each one of them we looked into, each one of them is something I have to keep looking into extended period in this thing. But in any case, so what happens here is it's saying, na bhuva maham sada bhuyasam iti. May I not, you know, I wasn't and I will not become. Now what happens is, you take the previous verse, because it says, because I'm the aspada is the base for everything, the whole base for it. Base for a whole movie is the light, like this. Base for all the ornaments is the gold. So base for all the experience, you're the base for all of it. So you have to take from previous verse, it says, para prema, supreme love is your base. But then, previous one, it says, okay, the happiness. Happiness is part of that, the ananda. So what will I not become? I haven't become, I will not become dukkham. I will never be dukkhi. I will never be, I never was, never am sorrowful. Now it says, hey, but that doesn't sound like it's right. How can it be that that's it? You know, let me skip this one. It doesn't sound right. I had a very bad time before. How can it be? Something very tragic. Right, like this. It'll be like somebody going to physics class and the professor will say, you see the table where I have the book and everything on? It's mostly space. Whatever's really there, just small little particles jumping in and out of existence. You'll say, wow, that's solid. Are you nuts? No thanks, I'm going to go. because science is saying, oh yeah, yeah. I read it, I know. Do we really understand it? We have some idea, like this. But in any case, here too, we need to give it, look into it. And what happens is the reason I don't know it's mostly space and tiny particles jumping in and out of existence, and they can know where a particle is or what it's doing, but not the other, all these crazy things, because we haven't really looked into it, that's all. So here I haven't looked into. So in Vedanta we say, however, how it appears, first of all, how it appears, we're not going to see beyond it without inquiring properly. Without inquiring properly, you won't see beyond the solid matter like this. So same thing here with ascertaining myself, I have to inquire. So it shows us how to do it. Just like science, in science it'll show me how to look into and understand it. I know because I read a few things. But if we really study, we'll understand. And then we won't have a question about it. So same thing here, I have to look into it. So there, okay, I'll know a little bit about it, very good. I'll know more about it, the way physically things are built. So it will help actually to loosen my idea about the reality. So there, in the modern physics, yes, maybe it will. But it's not going to make a huge difference in my inner state in this, but here it makes a big difference. That's why if I didn't inquire into subatomic particle physics or practically any other worldly science or thing, it's okay, it's not the end of the world. But here it makes a big difference, of course. Okay. It says, I never was never sorrowful, how can that be? What does that mean, right? So what happens is, first of all, think about it, that we've all gone through many things. If we haven't gone through things in life, we wouldn't be sitting here. We'd be enjoying party and everything, that's fine. You know, there's no, everybody has to do what they do. According to their nature, they'll do it, it's not a problem. But if we don't get kicks and blows, we're not going to come to this. So actually, kicks and blows in life are, we have to be thankful for, they bring us to seek these things, otherwise we'll continue. And what happens is, so there's good in it. What happens is, somebody who has everything's going smoothly, no difficulties, they're not going to come to look into these things. There's no need to. If there's too much heavy difficulties, too hard, also, I'm not going to, you know, it's not the time that I'll look into these things. Somebody hasn't studied Vedanta or this, they have some huge tragedy, and then you come and you start telling them, you know, oh, you know, things come and go, you're the witnessing awareness. Not going to help. Not the time for it. When the tragedy hits them, right? Maybe after some time, then they start questioning this, then you look into it. In this way. So some trouble is good, it brings us to this. but in any case. So what happens is, when I look back at any sorrows, then anything, then I look back to it, it was before, but now, first of all, it's gone. Anything that comes, goes. So the sorrows that came, they went. That's one thing. So meaning it was a guest, wasn't a permanent resident, right? wasn't staying there. It came and it went. Everything in the mind comes and goes. So that's one thing. So that I am, that means I identify with the vritti, I identify with the thought like this. So just because there was a thought or emotion like this doesn't mean I am that. Something that is intrinsic has to always be there. So we said that's one thing. So that's one thing about it. And also, when you're telling people about, oh, that great difficulty and that big thing, we didn't think we'll put through it on this, you're telling now with a smile on your face, right? Maybe some tears come because you remember it's still somewhere disturbing, but in general, it's like a wonderful thing, wow. So where's that sorrow now? Like this. Now, what happens also is this, is we have some negative emotion in our mind, something that is a disturbing emotion, so we want to get rid of it. Like somebody has anger, I see the anger's controlling me, I don't want to have the anger, so I don't want to have it there, I don't want to have the disturbing thought in my mind. So, people do different things to overcome it. Might do a simple worldly thing in order to overcome certain difficulties in the mind. I'm going to go and do something enjoy, right? Something to enjoy. I'm going to go and shopping, right? Some people shopping. I'm going to eat something. I'm going to go pray religion. All these things I'll do. Something people will do. Other thing people will do is, yes, they'll actually do things to change the samskara, the way the mind is, right? You want to change that way? Take Swami Shivananda's book, The Thought Power. Read it. It shows you can change your mind. Put effort in, you can change it. It's true. The mind can be changed. Its thought patterns can be changed. So yes, you can do this too, which is a wonderful thing. There's nothing wrong with it. A very good thing to do. But the thing is, it doesn't go to the root, that's one thing, because it's still the mind. I'm still that limited mind, which now is a better place, right? I'm in a better place like this. As an individual, I can be okay, I can reach a certain level of okay, of balance, right? But then what? No, but I want to be fully happy. No, sorry, you can only get to this level of balance, not more than that. As long as you're balanced, it's okay. I'll have some ups and some downs, but be happy with that. That's as far as I can be as an individual like this. because individual, then it's thoughts, and thoughts is change. Change will have positive, negative. You can't have one without the other. So in this way. Now what happens is a very interesting thing. So I say, okay, I am sorrowful. So in there, we take it, I'm an individual. Individual means ego. What is individual? Ego, some idea about myself. That's what it is. Because we already looked in no thoughts, like deep sleep, where's the individual? Gone, but you're there, meaning individual, some thoughts, some ideas. There has to be movement to the mind to be individual. You're very present something, where's the individual? Where'd it go? Oh, I remembered it, now it's back, right? So when I remembered, it's there. So there's the individual, and there's the sorrow or anger, whatever. So there's the sorrow. So these two things are there. Now the thing is, I take them as separate things, and I want to have get rid of the sorrow and keep the individual. This is what I think I want to do. But really, there's sorrow, meaning the me, ego, is a sorrow me. The sorrow is the me then, because whatever the ego takes as me is me. Now, so I want to have a different me, solve a different me, but that me is going to be still the limited me, which is going to still be prone to more sorrow later on, like this. So we take them as two separate things, but they're both movements of the mind. So again, making the mind a more balanced place, more positive place, very good. But now we're talking about, since we're going to Vedanta, not to... There we're dealing in the mind. You're still dealing in the mind with the mind, so you're dealing with the limited and the limited, and it's so it can be useful, can be helpful, but it doesn't solve the root of the problem. That's the thing. So what happens then? I say, okay, so there's as an individual, I want to do something about it. The moment you do something about it, you have to be an individual doing something about it. Anything you do has some limited capacity. So yes, you do, no problem. But Vedanta says, so 1 minute, that's not going to fully solve, because any action will have some reaction, but then it's still the whole chain of action, reaction, everything continues. It doesn't end. So the thing is, not in Vedanta, then if I go to being Sakshyam, the witnessing awareness, I don't have to do anything about it, because I do something about it. Now I take on part of the mind. This is another part of the mind. I went within the mind to change the mind. Vedanta says, never mind. And what you do is, yes, you just, the whole thing, the whole sorrow and individual are the same. I'm the witnessing awareness. I'm not those, like this. Now what happens is, if I can notice that even just a little bit, you notice a little bit, it frees you so much from it, because now I see it's a movement of the mind, it's not I, the awareness. So when you manage to step back and just watch like this, then I'm just the awareness, I'm not it. You free yourself from the individual completely, like this, not from that specific experience of the individual. Because then I want to fix all different things, you know, in the individual. Yes, fix some of the things, no problem. And as preparation, it's a very good thing, because the mind is too disturbed, too excited, too this. I can't look into these things, not possible. So the mind has to be more sattvic, and these preparatory things help with it. So this is perfectly fine. But once I'm looking into from this angle, fixing a specific thing, I'm working, you know, still I have to identify as individual fixing it. As Sakshi, I'm the awareness. Whatever is there is there. It doesn't have anything to do with me, with I. That's the me. It doesn't have to do with I. It's just a reflection, just an idea. So I'm the awareness. When you do this, it frees you from it so much. It's not doing it, but for lack of words. That's the problem with language, right? Language is, is language, has its limitations. So then, there's the sorrowful me, meaning the me. There's the me and there's I, the awareness. So then where? I observe it. Where is it? What is it? So this is the important thing about being the Sakshi in this way. And what happens, as we said, everything, whatever is dear to me, because of I want to be the content, the happy self, content self. In Uttarakashi, there where I go, so when Swami Ram Surupananji was still there, one young lady, very, very young, has a few kids, you know, some of them married very young. So she was there doing some work. She would come work a little help Swamiji there. And so one time she was there and her smaller daughter got scolded badly. You know, most of you are Indian, so you know that the Indian scolding is not the Western scolding. So she was crying, and she was saying, I want the nice mommy, I don't want the mean mommy, like this she's saying. So I want the content person, not the like this. This is what I want to have there. But the thing is, the content one, if I want it as the reflection, that reflection is very fragile. It can be made more stable, but so I want to go to the root of it, the base of it, in this way. So in this, at the base of it. Interesting, in the Gita, in verse 15, there it's saying the whole tree is Ashwatta, called the Ashwatta tree, the tree, like a huge banyan tree. And it says, and it has to be cut down, rooted out with the acts of discrimination, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. You take the axe, very sharp axe, very strongly, strong viveka, and that's how it's rooted out. Because otherwise you won't root it out. Yes, I'll have some nice fruits, but then after some time, still some disease will come. Still some issue will come, like this. So this is how it's done. It has to be asanga shastrena. Shastra here is, the shastra is the shastra, right? The shastra, the weapon here is the scripture, but the scripture meaning is the instrument. You have to wield the instrument. The understanding from this has to be wielded. I have to wield to understand, yes, this thing, this is a thought, comes and goes. I'm not that thought, I'm not that feeling. Why should I listen to that? Somebody gives you some advice. Some of the time advice is good, sometimes not, but you never know. So after some time, the person isn't trustworthy, right? You know they're not trustworthy. So you keep listening to their advice, if you believe them. You know when they open their mouth, okay, it's a toss of a coin, I don't. So our mind, how much nonsense it's been listening to. For worldly things, useful, but for identification, then it's a problem like this, okay? So this is an important thing. Adiguru Shankara, in the commentary on the Ishavasi Upanishad. The Ishavasi Upanishad, very interesting, is very short. I think it's 18 verses, because it's been written how they make parallels, 18 chapters of Gita, 18 verses there. That's a side thing. But in any case, so there in the commentary, he wrote this interesting thing which pertains to this. That somebody has a piece of sandalwood, right? What happens is, you're all familiar, where you have like a small stone, you put a little water, you grind it, and then you can use it for worship, whatever, like this. So it can be pretty costly, especially somebody simple, living village in this. So it has it, and he's walking, and it falls out accidentally, and it falls into the sewage, right? Defiled on the one hand, but defiled also, you know, it's not going to leave it, it's costly, so pulls it out, but it has the bad smell because it was in there for a little while. So takes it and washes it real well, washes the hand real well, so now he's happy, but what happens is still some of the smell is there. However much strong tries to wash it, it's not, you know, some of the smell is there. Goes and takes some sandpaper, right? And starts going all around. After doing that for some time, then the natural smell is coming out. The other one goes away. So what is, although it was covered, you know, like the outer layer, whatever, had this foul smell, had you know, something on it, inside its nature stayed the same. The nature didn't change. So once it was taken care of properly, then that foul smell goes away. It doesn't need to take this, get the smell from somewhere else. Like here, I come sometimes before the class, some incense I put, somebody will come in, oh, very nice fragrance in here. Because the fragrance isn't just natural to the place. So that's why there isn't and there's not much of a smell anything. But I come, I open the door, I air out of this, put on some incense, okay, oh, well, because it's not by nature. Something borrowed is going to just be, for, it's not stable, so what's the nature? So here it says, okay, what is my nature? And the thing is, if my nature was the sorrowful nature, it has to always be there. It seems to cover myself as the individual, but seems to, because if it really did, then, you know, if it really did for the sandalwood, then it could be that you couldn't get the, you know, it would always just smell badly and that's finished, it changed. But it's the nature of something is always there, it doesn't change. Okay? So that's why something's nature is always there. You can't change that. Something that is just due to certain conditions can be there. Now the thing is, then if so anything sorrowful came, it's there, but the moment my attention isn't on it, the moment I fall asleep, something else, where is it? You know, like, and the interesting thing is this. When you're sitting here and it becomes cloudy, you see the clouds have covered the sun. But how can you see the clouds because of the sun, right? The whole thing is because of the sun only. So it didn't cover the sun, just obstructed the vision a little bit. So the emotion like this, it obstructs because of my identification with it also. It doesn't obstruct, you can't obstruct yourself. I'm aware, how do I know I'm sorrowful? I know I'm aware of it. No? You're aware. And the moment you see I'm aware and just stay with that, where is that whole sorrow and everything? Meaning it's just some false identification I have. Out of habit I identify with it. This is what happens. So this is a nice thing. It's not something that I drive away. Again, earlier stages, yes. And if it's very strong, yes, you do things about it like this. But then eventually I have to learn just to step back. And when you can just step back and do that, it resolves the whole thing. Then you just are. I don't have to be something. Thing is, I want to always be something. At first, stepping stone, something to make a strong, healthy ego. The Mahatmas say that an imbalanced mind or unhealthy mind isn't transcended because you're too caught up in it. So the mind should be made, you know, healthy place, positive place, you know, all this. Yes, because otherwise it's going to be too complicated. I'll be caught up in it too much. So yes, I do that. But then when I look at it to transcend it, I have to totally, you know, disidentify with it like this. The moment, for a few moments, you're just the awareness and not that. Where's the whole thing? Maybe I get caught up in it, but that's just habit. When I look back at it, look back at any time you were the awareness with plus some conditioning is there. And I always want to hold, the thing is, as individual then, I always want to hold on to something, some identity. Identify this, identify that, right? This is what happens. So that thing though is also habit. It's a habit to hold on to that, like this. One mold is gone, I want to hold on to other mold. Right? And just to, without it then, mind is baffled. That's why some of the time you meditate, sit there, there's nothing yet, nothing next. You know, because I'm always looking to next. There's nothing next. Finished. The Son Swamiji, he likes to say, he was just here, I heard him talk, and he likes to say like this. He says, okay, I'm going to give you all a very special mantra. Right? Today's 12th, right? Says everybody repeat after me, May 12, 2026. He has everybody repeat a few times. And he says, now you can't say anything before this date. Now say something. Right? Because you drop your past. What's there to say? He was saying about future. If you drop future, then also what? Forward, nothing. Now what? Mind is baffled. It wants to hold on to something. So some things will appear. Yes, but they'll appear. They'll appear and they'll disappear. But I hold on to them. Now I'm creating a whole story and identify with. So in the end, I say the sorrow is because of this situation. But the sorrow in the end is because I identify with some limited idea. I don't identify with it, then where is that? The identification with some limited idea, that brings the sorrow. That's how it is. That's exactly what happens. So at some point I have to stop doing something taken care of, but just I'm the awareness, not that. Let it come, let it go, doesn't matter. Because otherwise it's, you know, I won't be able to, I'm just staying within it. I'm not learning how to step back if you want. Okay. Now what happens is, and being as Sakshi, as the witnessing awareness, is not a practice, something that I do. Because if I'm doing it, it's against an activity. You know, you say, think about this thing. There's some effort, something to make sure the mind is focusing in this compared to that. So that's an activity. Look at this. Looking, focusing, it's an activity. Yes, the seeing, I just open my eyes, it happens. But to focus something specific, that's an action, right? Listen to this. Yeah, hearing happens, but I want to listen to that closely, meaning other. So all these things are activities. Understand this, you know, meaning think about this to understand. You have to put your intellect into it. So all these things, there is action, activity. Be aware, again, not be attentive to something, just be aware what you have to do. Right? You think be aware of something, not that, just be aware. What do you have to do? You don't have to do anything, right? There's nothing to do there, it's just because it's your nature. So as Sakshi, it's not that I do something. I'm just maybe undoing if you want. I'm just looking at it from the perspective of myself as the awareness instead of my identification as the mind, if you want, like this. That's the difference. So this is what happens, is I identify with and it's a disidentifying. But I'm so used to, as an individual, to be something, right? And again, from the deep sleep we learn, in the deep sleep state, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing anything. Right? What do you know? Oh, I don't know anything. What are you trying to become? What are you trying to achieve? Oh, nothing. So it must have been very boring. You must have not liked it. Oh, no, it was so wonderful. I didn't want to get out of bed. So by nature, it's fine. But the thing is, I don't. In some ways counterintuitive, kind of like, interesting, we had the gate was made here, the guy did not so great a job, unfortunately. Fortunately, though, for that, our tenant, he's a flooring guy, so he, and he can, you're good at one kind of construction, you can do the other. And so he took it apart, fixed it. The way they put the angled piece of wood to stabilize it, he showed, you know, he put it backwards, it's counterintuitive. The person just put it in, didn't know, obviously. Make small gates, it didn't matter. You make a big gate, it matters. And he showed me a small video online where people just showed how it works. It's counterintuitive. You would think the weight is going on, you want to put it that way. But it was actually the other way. It doesn't help it pull apart. Very strange. So some things are counterintuitive. This is counterintuitive. So again, as an individual, earlier stages, if I'm just lazy, not focused, yes, I need to get out of that. That's why activity. And that's why, yes, rajas to take away the tamas. Any resistance in the mind, activity, laziness, this, yes, I do activity to get out of that. Yes, then sattva, then I learn how to do the things by more presence and not for getting to somewhere, to specific gain, but what's needed to be done well. So mind is more sattva. So yeah, those are done. That's for the, make the mind the place within the activity I can do like this. But then afterwards, when I go to as awareness, then there's nothing to do or to become or anything. I identify with the limited, that brings me into the limitation, into the idea of the whole sorrow starts from that. So the sorrow that I have, dukkham, all this, comes from identification with the limited, not with something specific. Right? Yes, it's a mind. Yes, it means the mind may have sorrow in it. Nobody's saying that. And somebody has sorrow. We can be compassionate. We can go through sorrow too. Fine. But the thing is here, we say, what is the source of it? The reason for it? It's the identification. Without that identification, as Ramana Maharshi would say when people came with problems, like that, he'd say, where's the problem in the deep sleep? Right? Do you take it into the deep sleep? No, of course not. Well then, meaning it's not intrinsic, it's not an essential problem. If it's essential, it'll be there in the deep sleep too. Right? So, in this way. So, this has to be remembered then. Now what happens then is, so I'll say, no. The sorrow is not because of that, because this thing is causing the problem. Why? I'm attached to it. What do you mean you're attached to it? What are you attached to? No, because my dog was here, like just two blocks up. This family had a dog, which was kind of like, not a bull, like a bulldog, something similar, exactly what type, I don't know all these types, right? So when I first saw it, like 10 years, 12 years ago, whatever, when I walked by, this dog just running, and first you get a little bit, you don't know what the dog is, then you see it's still just grown up, but it's puppy and it's just playing, so they call it Seven, right? Now Seven has gotten old and went to seventh heaven. So what to do? We all come and go. So the owner, when I asked, oh, how's Seven, because the old dog wasn't doing much, said, oh, went to heaven, I really miss him. One day I'll reunite with him there like this, right? Now, so I have a dog. I'm attached to the dog. What do you mean? What are you attached to? Oh, because I like what? Form. What is form? What is form, right? Name and form. A form. What is a form? Some sensation. I'm aware of sensation. So there is something, there's sensation, and then I say, I like this, I want to hold on to. What do you mean? This is something, again, we say, I'm there because I'm attached to it, so I'm attached, so it brings me the joy, I feel security from that. But that's something we should look into, Vedanta, we should look into that, right? Maybe other circles will leave it be, but here, if we don't look into it here, when do you look into it? So what is it? Form, sensation. Oh, no, when he barked, or when he did this, I really liked, when he did this, I really liked. Meaning some sensation is there, sensation that I got used to, I feel some sort of security. It somehow makes this individual feel, connected to something, feel whatever it is. So then it makes, okay, now things are okay, meaning a certain set of sensations compared to other set of sensations, that's it. It's like the movie, you're going to go to the movie and the projector is not going to be working well, and you say, what happened? Well, we had some really wonderful movies before, but this year the movies aren't so good, so I'm really, I'm bummed out, so I don't want to really project, I'm not projecting so well because I'm missing the good old movies. That projector isn't attached to what's there. Within its light, the movie appears. Within the awareness, the things happen, but now within that, I attach to a certain thing within the awareness. Now I think I'm attached to it. What is attached? There's some idea, some thought, meaning some movement in the mind. Some movement in the mind, and I identify with that movement in the mind. How do I know the movement is? How do you know that movement of the mind is there? There is a form, and that form, there's a certain feeling from it. How do you know? Oh, since I'm aware, I know it. Because when I get distracted, something else, I totally forget the dog doesn't exist. And I forget the feeling. He did something naughty, scratched, I yelled at him, I was angry at him. But now it's over now. So certain condition, certain sensation, and then identify. So now I think that happiness is coming from that. Right? So now I'm attached to that. But that's something that's there temporarily and it's gone. But then tomorrow, something else and I feel good, meaning something is helping to reflect it. So the I'm attached to, it's an idea. The base attachment was set in here. May I not cease to be? That's what's said in this verse. May I not cease to be? Why should I not cease to be? If that's, if this thing is what I'm so, content for, let me just keep that. Right? And people do give their life for something, protect their country, whatever it is, they'll lose their life. Yeah, they do that. They see something greater. But the thing is, in the end, I'm happy because of something, meaning that You know, I has to be there first. The I, without me, where is that thing? It's connected to me. That's why it makes me happy, as we saw earlier. So really the source, I have to be there for it to, for the happiness to be. That I, where is it? Right. My family, my thing, my this, without I, where is it? The whole thing isn't there without I. Without I, without the awareness in the end, without... So, in this way, I have to cease. Attached to something, it's nama-rupa, name and form. Some form, the form, you know, no, I'm attached not to that, but I want to hear the current Carnatic music, or the Hindustani music, I want to hear this, I want... So it's sound, taste, it's form, meaning one of the something through the senses, and then I label it some name to go along with it, so the mind can point to it. So it's name and form. Name and form. How can you be attached? What is there to be attached to that? Like this. So I have to look at it, because the attachment, I see I'm attached, meaning I'm aware. I'm aware of the attachment, so if I'm aware, am I attached, or I'm aware of the attachment? Which one is it? I can't be attached and aware of it, because then it contradicts the rule that we have that the observer observed are never the same. Right? They can never be the same. Right? I'm attached to this, to the feeling in the body. Feeling, I'm aware of the body, right? The body felt like this, now it feels like this. Before it felt very good, now it feels more painful because, you know, whatever. Body changes. And any form you have, I'm attached to a form, meaning that form right now is going to slowly, slowly, every moment it is changing, going away. Right? You have it there. The moment there's a form there, meaning it's changing, it's flowing down the river, it's disintegrating. So I'm attached to something which I know is just, you know, an image right now. And an image and reflect in my mind, because I have an idea of that image. Right? Because the thing is, the thing itself is one thing, my idea of it is something else. I'm attaching my idea of it more than the thing itself, right? Because when it changes enough, then I don't want that anymore. It used to be like this. You know, you go to, will happen to all of us that we grew up somewhere else. You go to where you grew up, you tell people, yeah, it used to be like this. It's not the same anymore. It used to be, for you, that's in your mind. The people that are there now, this is the place, and this is wonderful how it is now. Your idea, some idea from past, you're an oldie, it's not like this. That's sometimes where it's not the real thing. So where it's really the idea, so it's really the not the form, but reflect my mind, my idea that I'm attached to. Very interesting. We're very interesting creatures like this, right? I remember one time seeing one of the nature programs like this, where the what is it? The polar bear, right? The polar bear, they have less ice, so they have to swim further, not as strong. So went there and wanted to attack some seal or walrus, and the walruses, whatever, fought back. It doesn't have a chance, doesn't have, so it knows it can't get it. So it lies down there, it knows finished. Oh no, what am I going to do? I can't live anymore, I don't have the strength to attack them and get my food, right? Oh no, what'll happen? I will never see my family again. That's it, no, okay, no problem. Right? So it didn't have all these complications. Of course, it also doesn't have the developed intellect to look into these things. So it just works by instinct, not by... It doesn't have the intellect to, it doesn't have the capacity to inquire, who am I? It doesn't have that. So, once we have the capacity, then yes, we get caught up in other things because we have the human mind now, so no problem. But we have to learn from that polar bears, yes, whatever came, came, and it came, that's how it is. Not making a big deal out of it like this, make, you know. So, in this way, this is what it's also pointing out. So what happens is there's some sort of sensation. Sensation is just sensation. Seeing something, tasting something, hearing like this. The mind goes and fills everything afterwards. So the mind builds up this whole world for me in this way. And actually, the mind fills so much of the blanks, really speaking. There's, we see so much, it's like sensations there, the mind pulls it all together and builds a reality like this. It's not that there is, because literally, you know, we see it's two-dimensional, but the mind fills the three-dimensional. You know, of course, the eyes are helping with having two eyes compared to one for seeing depth, but the mind takes it all and puts it together. So without my mind, without my ideas, where's my whole world? The whole thing I'm comfortable in or identified, attached to. But I'm aware. So I'm aware of sensation, fine, aware of sensation, but then I identify within it, then all that happens. So we pull together all these ideas, we get lost in them, and then I get the insecurity of what'll happen when it won't be there. What'll happen if I won't be there? With I won't be there meaning some idea of myself won't be there. Because again, we think I will cease to be. That's one thing here. If we take it, we took it from perspective Ananda, the verse, where Ananda, I want to be happy. So, oh, where's my contentment, happiness go? Because I look at the conditional happiness, not absolutely what I am. But then it can also be seen from sub-perspective, I want to always be, I don't want to die. I don't want to cease existing. Oh, I exist after death. Oh, wonderful. Still say, but I want to go to heaven and be with my family there, meaning I want to take and, you know, be with my loved ones. These ones there I don't care about too much, but the loved ones I want to be with, right, in the heaven. So I want to carry something from the individual to me too, and I go there like this. And I want the God in the form that I like there, not the form the other people say, because that's not the heaven I want to go to. So we take this too with us when we talk about heaven. But I want to not cease existing like this, because me existing, that's the main thing. Without that, my existence, where is experience? Where is anything? Where is world like this? Where actually the model of, okay, I'm the individual, ceases to exist, I die finished, consciousness is just a product of the brain. That kind of creation then, how people, oh no, it'll be, how wonderful, you're free. Right? How wonderful, finished. It's like a tragedy, but you know, Vedanta says, well, the individual may be gone, but you won't be gone like this. If that's the end of everything, then it's really a wonderful thing, but then we get into all the complications. We say, then where's the accountability? Where's all this? So karma has to come in, and then, okay, so I have to continue to be, so, but on and on and on. So that's why I say, no, it doesn't seem to really fit in. And of course, those are things that I can't go and see. How are you going to verify those things? So that's why we have to take, just like I don't completely understand that this is mostly space, but I take the physics, modern physics, pramanam. I take it, yes, they've studied enough. I take it because I trust that they have looked at it closely enough. Some people don't, that's why, like, you know, certain people in certain circles, we see in our country this, no, they don't want science things. Because they don't take it as pramanam, they don't take it as valid means of knowledge. Okay, no problem. So here also, so with this thing of I don't cease to exist, you know, the individual in some manner continues, that's something we can only take as a pramanam, shastra, you know, it's told, proper, we take it as it was told, and that's how it is, like this. But that's also just a bit of a side, because somehow came from the ideas I want to continue after I die in this. Still, that one is still just not the end in itself, so it's not as important to us like this. Not as important, because I want to see who's behind all this thing. I think I'm a limited thing, I'm not, because that's also talking about me in a limited, but a slight different capacity, but still limited. Here we're talking about what Vedanta is saying. Okay, that's a good model, how you continue, very good, but who is it behind all that thing? That's what we're looking into. So, also is from Sat, I want to continue to be. as citta, I want to continue to be. You can continue to be, but it'll be a vegetable. You won't know anything. You won't be aware. No, I want to be. So, so I want to continue as sat, I want to exist. Citta, I want to be aware. Anand, I want to be happy. And then we say, you're already that, but identify it limited. You'll have it in limited capacity. Learn to disidentify with it. It's not a problem anymore. It's not that you will get, oh, now I'm going to get the infinite happiness. No, it's just not a problem anymore. Wanting to be happy won't be a problem because you're the source of it. So from perspective of a worldly thing, yes, you're fully content as Sakshi. Fully content because you've no problem. But Sakshi itself, there's no question of it. Like, I feel very cramped. I want more space. Does the space say, oh, I don't feel limited? There's no question of limitation. So that's why as myself, as Atma, as the conscious awareness, impersonal awareness, from this perspective, there's no question about I'm limited. No question about I will cease to be. There's no question about it. No question will I not be, there not be awareness. I'm the awareness. There's no question about I want to be happy. No question, because there's no issue with that, like this. So from an individual's perspective, one knows, you'll see they're very happy, content. Meaning content, balance. From that perspective, there's no question of it. So it's not that, take all the joy, just like we said, timeless, we said, doesn't mean something in long time. It means not limited by time. Time has nothing to do with it. Same way we say ananda, the pure happiness, bliss, meaning has nothing, no limit. It's not that there is so much happiness, all the happiness. It's not an issue anymore because there's no happy, unhappy. Like contentment is what we want more than the short-lived happiness. There's no question about it. That's why it's also taken as puranatvam, as being whole. Maybe the word holy comes from that being whole. Who knows? I don't know. Somebody can check the etymology. But like this. Because you're whole. I'm not whole now. I feel limited now. What'll be? So this is a little bit about this. Thy nature as the paraprema aspada. The base is the absolute love or absolute joy. That is my base. Chiyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vachishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Oops. So, before we go, anybody has any questions, confusions, no complaints, they're not taken. Okay, so we'll finish for today. So Lacey, very good to have you. I'd like to just, because you're jumping in the middle with people who've been doing this for some time, in the middle of the text and all,